Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for the proclamation this day is from the Revelation. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." Dear beloved of God, usually we take time to talk about the the unbelief of Thomas, and we focus upon how he has looked for Jesus Christ, and then Jesus Christ comes to him with good words of peace, and that he confesses, and that we look and then examine how St. John reminds us that these things are written that we may believe, that you and I, who read the scripture, who hear the words of God, because we are not Thomas. And while we will leave Thomas there for a moment, we're going to look instead at the first appearance on that Easter day that relates to what's going on in the Revelation. That is to say, Jesus comes to them and says, "Peace to you." They are glad to see him when they find out it is the Lord. And then he sends them. That's what apostles mean, sent ones. And he gives them instructions here that you are to forgive sins. And when they are forgiven, they are gone. But if you retain them, they remain. Well, what does this have to do with Revelation? Keys are an amazing thing. We don't think about them so often because they come in so many forms and they're so easy usually. I find myself at the front door sometimes taking out my car fob and hitting the unlock button for the front door of my house. Doesn't work, by the way. Maybe you have done the same thing, but they are powerful things. If you do not have keys, things will not open up. If you do not have keys, things will not lock. These are great things. Children are fascinated by them. I don't know if you ever given, I remember that we had fake keys, plastic keys that we would give to the kids, because big people have keys. They're the great things. And in these gray and latter days, children are fascinated by little boxes we hold in our hands that are keys to information and data that seem to have all the answers. But nevertheless, keys are important. In our text from Revelation, St. John, Jesus speaks of the keys of Hades to death and death. And while you read and maybe saw the pictures in your mind, you went, "Wow, no wonder he fell down. That's really frightening, the vision that he has." But that's why he starts, Jesus starts by saying to the disciple, his beloved one, "Do not be afraid." And that is what I urge you to do as we go through these seven Sundays of Revelation. Those are going to be the epistle readings for the season of Easter. And while people might look at the book of Revelation as scary, when it's read through Jesus Christ, then you have it. You see, John wrote, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And believing in him, you may have life in his name." And in John chapter 5, he already starts this way, "But you do not have the word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe." In other words, those who do not believe in Jesus do not believe Jesus' words. And he says, "You search the scriptures for me in them, and you think that you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me." See, Jesus is the key to understanding not only the gospel lessons, not only the epistles, Paul and John and Peter writing, but also the whole scriptures. And Jesus said to him in chapter 14, on the night he was betrayed, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus is not just a key to understanding Scripture. He is just not a form of a key, but he holds the key. He is the key. And he has such power and access. That's why the book of Revelation starts out like it does. He is the one who is most powerful, whose eyes are like fire, whose word can strike and cut and kill, but also make alive. No one is like him. He is the living God. And he is your friend. That's what John says. He placed his right hand on me and said, "Don't be afraid. I'm the one who has the keys." Now, isn't that an amazing thing? An enemy does no longer have the keys to Hades and hell and death. That's all taken care of on Easter. And that is what Jesus' words are for us as well. Jesus is the risen Christ. And he's not looking for making commitments. He's not looking for those who say, "Well, if I do this, you will do that." Jesus decides. He has the keys. He opens. He closes. His blood and water poured out of his side. And so he has given it and fulfilled everything. And so Jesus is that key. And listen to what he says at the first again before we get all into the meat of it. "Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the rulers of the kings of earth. He has loved and washed us from our sin in his own blood, and he has made us kings and priests to God, his God and Father." And that ultimately is the great thing about what Jesus has done. He sends and gives his apostles and his believers these keys. You see, the apostles have the keys. Pastors have the keys. The church has the keys. You have the keys. And what are they for? Well, in Matthew chapter 16, he says, "And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And from our gospel text, "As the Father has sent me, I send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins, they are retained." And so the Lutheran Church, in its confession, asks this question: what is the office of the keys? And the answer in the small catechism: the office of the keys is that special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of repentant sinners, but to withhold from forgiveness from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent. And then cites the gospel lesson that we have for today. This is an important thing. This is perhaps the Easter message that gets lost in so many ways. You and I are given to forgive sins and retain sins. And especially in the church. So that when the ministers of Christ deal with you according to his divine command, your sins are forgiven as you repent, as certain as the dear Lord himself. You see, it's great to have a friend who gives these over. because he is the one in control of them. He delivers the salvation. He delivers on what is promised. And so that those who repent of their sins do not have to wonder whether Jesus has forgiven them or not, do not have to look through Scripture trying to find just that right passage that will give them comfort. He has given the keys to the voices on this earth, his church, his kingdom of priests and kings, to forgive sins and to retain them. It is a great responsibility. We often don't like to retain sins. We must admit that we'd rather forgive all the sins, but we have to retain those who are unrepentant. But this is the comfort that Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, has all authority and all power, and then gives his apostles, his followers, to do those things in his place on earth. And this book of Revelation is also to understand that. Dr. Luther writes, the book of Revelation is for the comfort of the Christians, that they may know that Christendom is to endure in spite of the plagues that are going to come. It warns and comforts Christians with its message, even though the visible church will suffer from all kinds of attack, schisms and heresies. The true church will be preserved by grace. Our holiness is in heaven, where Christ is, and not in the world before men's eyes. If only the word of the gospel remains pure among us, and we love and cherish it, we shall not doubt that Christ is with us, even when things are at their worst. Christ is with his saints and wins the final victory. You see, the keys are important because Christ has laid them in your hands, and by his authority, your sins are forgiven, and those whom you forgive are forgiven. It is the main thing. The church carries this out through its preaching, baptizing, and administering the sacrament of the Holy Supper. The resurrected and ascended Lord and his church with him is doing these works of great power. Oh, I know. To the world, it looks like a few people, not very wise in the ways of the world, not very much to look at or to be with. But Jesus gave this to John, who was exiled on Patmos, that if you wanted to hear John preach, you had to go by 20 miles of sailing boat out to a little island where there was bare rock and a little water. You had to see him. And the church was being persecuted heavily with all kinds of death and seizure of property and of exile. Didn't look like much, but Jesus laid his hand on his beloved apostle and said, "Fear not, for I am the first and the last, and I have the keys." So Christ proclaims to you, you have the keys, not by your effort, not by your strength, but by Jesus Christ, who is the key to eternal life and the one who gives us the forgiveness of sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.